Thank you, choir, and thank you for being here on this beautiful day. Hasn't the Lord been good to us the last couple of days? My goodness, what marvelous sunshine and good temperatures. If you have your Bible, let me encourage you to turn with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. One of those favorite sections in the Scripture for me. I don't know about you, but I like this part. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your mercy, your love. We thank you, Father God, that you initiated, that you took the initiative and you came and you sought us. You didn't wait. Father, we thank you for Jesus this morning. We thank you for this great gift of salvation you so freely give to us. Father, we understand and recognize that even as we study, as we pray, as we come and worship you, Father, we only just catch a glimpse of your great love wherewith you loved us. But Father, this morning, as we look at this great passage of Scripture, we ask you to amplify it, speak to our hearts. Father, maybe there's someone here this morning who needs encouragement. Father, maybe there is that one here today that just would like to come to your throne of grace and just bow before you and say, Lord, just anoint me afresh and anew today. Lift me up, put me at your right hand, that I might be able to serve you with joy and vigor. Father, I ask that you would just bless in that way. Father, if other decisions need to be made, even perhaps open public decisions this morning, whether it be first-time profession of faith, rededication of life, whatever it might be, Heavenly Father, we trust you to act in our midst. You are free, Lord, and we pray, Father God, that you will indeed touch our hearts. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In 490 B.C., the Persian king Darius invaded Greece. This is the same Persian king, Darius, that we find back there in the Bible in Daniel chapter 6. He's the one who was kind of tripped or duped into throwing Daniel into the lion's den. Of course, Daniel was the faithful and true believer, and he prayed every day daily. And so there were those presidents, those satraps who did not like him very much. And so they kind of manipulated the king to pass a law about particular times of prayer, but Daniel would not submit to that, and so he was, of course, because of the law, had to be thrown in the lion's den. Of course, Darius kind of understood that he'd been manipulated. He didn't like that, but that was the law. And so he put him in the lion's den, and very early the next day, Darius went and sought to see if Daniel was still alive. Daniel 6 and 20 says, and Darius says, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, now listen, whom thou continuously serve. Isn't that amazing? See, Daniel's witness was true. It was bold. He says, I understand, Daniel, that you're a believer in the living God. Is that God who you serve daily able to deliver thee from the lion's den? And of course, Daniel replies, O king, live forever. Don't you know that that did Darius's heart good to hear that voice coming out of that cave? O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel to stop the mouths of the lions. Of course, Darius was king of what great nation? Iran. Kind of in the news today, even. Well, he is invading Greece. And only Athens and Sparta stood in a defiant manner before him. All others capitulated. But on the plains of Marathon, that vast Persian army was defeated by the Greeks. A fellow named Philidippides, who had already actually run 150 miles carrying messages between the two different armies, then also ran another 25 miles from Marathon to Athens, announcing the defeat of the Persian army. Philippides, when he got there, says this, "Rejoice! We conquer!" And he died of exhaustion. Well, today's modern Olympic Games celebrate that marathon run. A marathon then became a common metaphor for life. And Paul also took that metaphor up and he began to talk about the Christian life as being not a sprint, but a marathon. Paul wrote that he ran this race of life to obtain an incorruptible crown. You see, they just got a laurel wreath. It was just a plant crown that faded away. Paul says, "I'm running for an incorruptible crown. Know ye not," he says, "that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize." So then what did he say? So run that you may receive and obtain that prize. He goes on to say that his discipline, that he disciplines himself daily. He continues to bring his body under subjection so that what he does for the Lord will count and it will be bold and it will be an active witness for God. And so he brings himself into this discipline and he says, "I press to the mark." In Philippians 3, he says, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So Paul is saying, "I'm pressing on. I have to discipline myself. I have to bring myself into discipline and subjection unto the Lord so that I might be a bold witness for him as I run this race, this marathon called life, so that I might glorify God in all that I do." In verse 13 in Philippians, he says, "But this one thing I do." You see, Paul realized that the human mind can only focus on one thing properly at a time. Now, we're talking about multitasking people all the time, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's a bunch of junk. People can really only do one thing good. Paul knew that. He says, "Listen, I have a single-mindedness about me when it comes to my pursuit of Christ." Set your priorities in order. Paul allowed nothing to distract him from his attention from achieving what he set out to do in Jesus. You know, most people don't have a goal. Most people don't have a direction. That's the reason why they're directionless. That's the reason why they just wander around. They're tossed to and fro. They're blown around like a leaf in a garden. Because they really do not have a goal in life. They do not have a purpose. Most people don't have those kind of things. And they pursue nothing. And they certainly don't pursue anything that's of eternal value. But Paul said, "I press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus." Edison said success was due to 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. See what he's saying? It takes work. Listen, anything in life that's of value is going to cost you something. Anything in life that's of value, you're going to have to work at. It will not come easy. Matter of fact, in some areas, it's going to be more difficult than others. You're going to find that you're gifted, that God has given you talents and abilities in certain areas, and those are going to come easier, but it won't be easy. It'll be easier. But it's going to take work. Persistence. Persistence pays off. Unfortunately, even Christians are not properly motivated to do the work of God. Because they do not have a single-mindedness in Christ, then they're and were easily distracted by the allurement of the world. You know, I've been thinking, it was starting to warm up a little bit, about fishing. And my son and grandson and all those, we went out to Fox Island yesterday, fiddled around. It was so beautiful. We threw the line in. Actually, we caught one fish, a little pike. But I took a lure with me that had a little spinner on it. And, you know, I thought about that. The spinner is what attracts the fish, isn't it? He sees that flashing through the water. he doesn't see that treble hook coming along behind it. Yeah. Well, that's what the devil does. He runs all kinds of spinner baits in front of us, trying to lure us away, trying to get us off track. And we don't see that the hooks are coming. Listen, we need to be single-minded. We need to be focused. We can't turn to the right or to the left. We need to go straight forward for God. And Paul urges us to run the race of life. He says he raises the image of this great stadium of life that's packed out with cheering people. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." You know, in the first century, huge crowds would flock to the arena to see blood as the gladiators battled in a life and death struggle. They watched as slaves many times were torn apart by wild animals in the arena. But Paul is saying here there's another kind of crowd. There's another kind of arena. And this crowd is a great cloud of witnesses, not screaming for blood, but rooting us on to glory. They are the heroes of faith who have gone on before us. They have run the race of life. They have obtained the victor's crown. We've got Moses and Abraham and David and Daniel, Rahab and Ruth and Lottie Moon and Rose Hamm and Bob Wolford, and you just name it. They're all around us. They're watching us in this great race of life. And they're saying, go for it. Get up. Don't stop. You can make it. Keep going. Go on. And I think they're getting into it. Now, I don't know how God does all that stuff, because I'm afraid in my race of life, there's as many failures as there are successes. Must break their heart. But somehow or another, God balances that whole thing out, doesn't he? And this great cloud of witnesses is telling us, go on. Run. Don't stop. Run. You know, they're not couch potatoes either, are they? They're not Monday morning quarterbacks. They are those who've already been here, done that, and they're the veterans of this race of life. And their message is quite clear. Keep going. Keep running. Clear all the hurdles. Jump all the barriers. Problems, worries, sickness, tensions, death, unemployment, brokenheartedness. Keep on going. Do not stop. The only way you can lose is to stop. And you will gain the crown of life, a prize incorruptible, given to us by the Lord God himself. Are you running? Are you sitting? What do you have your eyes fixed upon? Is it the prize of God, or is it something far less? Well, the race. You know, athletes know that you can't expect to win running in tight clothing or bulky winter coats. You've seen these guys. They get out on the track there. They've got the very bare minimum that they have to tote around with them. That's what they've got. Paul says you must lay aside. You must throw it off. Every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Paul also asserts in Galatians. He says, you did run. You did well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Getting rid of sin is not easy. We must get into the spiritual condition. Athletes get into shape by lifting weights, by jumping rope, by running wind sprints, by doing push-ups and set-ups and all these things. We know that. Well, you know, spiritually, we need to also get in shape for the Lord. Our spiritual conditioning is in the same vein, fellowshipping with other Christians. You know, some of these people are so boring. No, iron sharpens iron. Bible study. We say, well, I read my Bible a year or so ago. I said, did they add anything? Daily devotions. Are you taking time out sometime during the day, early, late? Then doesn't make a difference when. Those are your setups. Do you like setups? I've never known anybody like that kind of stuff. Maybe you do. Come after and tell me if you did. These things seem so mundane. They don't seem like they're, I want to play the game. I remember when I was a kid, I want to get in the game. Let's do the game. But I soon found out the practice was where the game was won. Daily devotions, worship, prayer, service. These are the things that condition us for the Lord's service. If we do not do them, we will not have victory. That's all there is to it. We got to keep our eye on the finish line. The Bible says that we're to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, in 1987, an Irish runner, Ian Colan, he was the world's record holder in 1500 meter race, was running in a qualifying heat. You know how they have to do these things in the Olympics. It was an indoor track. It was right here in Indianapolis. He was expected to win. He was the world's record holder. Nobody had even come close. But within two laps, he tripped. And he fell down. Fell flat on his face. But he got back up. And then with a titanic effort, he actually caught back up to the leaders. Now he was in third place. You know, that was enough to qualify him for the Olympics. But as he was headed down that last straightaway, he took a little glance over his right shoulder, and then he took a little glance over his left shoulder, and he didn't see anybody. And he let up. I mean, he'd already expended all this energy, and he let up. And within inches, somebody passed him on that final lap, and he came in fourth, and he did not make the Olympics. We've got to keep focused on Jesus, friends. There's all kinds of things. We're going to stumble all the time. There are all kinds of things, but we've got to keep focused. Keep focused on Jesus. If we look to the right or we look to the left, we're going to find folks doing all kinds of stuff that we say, well, I'm better than that. I can do better than that. Blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. It's the thing out in front. It's the goal of getting to the finish line that matters. You know, the devil's always trying to tempt us to take our eyes off that finish line, but we must not. Paul says what? Keep running. Don't stop. This thing that we call life is like a great marathon race. And what God wants us to do is enter that arena and shout with victory. In Christ's name, I have conquered. And you'll get the victor's crown. You'll get it. God Himself will give it to you. Don't give up. If you give up, that's the only thing that can stop you. No barriers, no hindrances, no obstacles. Just you. Father God, we thank you for who you are and what you do for us and with us. Father, we thank you that you challenge us, that our lives might be focused and be fixed upon Christ. Father, we know and recognize that the strength that we have, the abilities that we have, these are things that you give to us. But Father, you challenge us, you urge us to discipline ourselves for this race. Many obstacles in life, many barriers, but we can clear them all. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Father, help us to get the victory. Because in the victory for you, we glorify you. And we draw all men unto Jesus. Father, even this morning, this point of an invitation, pray, Father, you'll speak to our hearts. For these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.